Lord, before we begin, we just give you all the praise and glory. We render to you, Father, all praise and all glory. Every single person here, Father, we say you are a great God. And we love, Father, that we can come together to rejoice in you. Father, let today be a time of your word bearing much fruit in our life. Today, Father, may our hearts be open. May our minds be unclouded. We break the power of confusion over every mind in this place. We declare the skies open. The skies are clear of every interference, that all of us, Lord, will hear from heaven. We will receive it in our heart. And to your glory, it will bear much fruit. Father, have control. Holy Spirit, have your way. Navigate us through this time. And may your word bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Bills. Won't smell. It's all right. Let's have a look. What's this bill? More money. What's this one? Insurance. Oh, junk mail. Oh, this looks good. This looks better. There's some nice things I can buy, some DVDs. Well, maybe I'll spend some time in the Word. Lord, speak to me from your word. Just bless me and encourage me this day. Let's see if I can open somewhere. Ah, this is good. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That just blesses me, Lord. Maybe I'll turn somewhere else. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord, so much. Father, talk to me from your word. Where else can I open to? Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. I don't like that one so much. Yeah. Hello, Pastor. Hello, it's Justin. How are you? Good. I want to talk to you about tithing. Yeah. Are we supposed to tithe on our income before tax or after tax? Oh. How come? But I don't even see that money. Okay. Do we have to? But what if we can't afford to? What if there's just no money? Okay. Okay, I'll have a look at that scripture as well. Thank you. Yep, thanks. Bye-bye. Well, how am I going to do this? This just doesn't add up. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? Just not. I don't see how that can be, Lord. I'll just put that down there. That's better. Let me just try. Thank you, Lord. Speak to me from your word. Let's have a look. Let me just see. Thank you, Lord. You so love me, you gave your son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father. Lord, what else? What else can you speak to me from your word? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord. Good. Where's this? What? Yes, I have that. Yes, Ezekiel. Zechariah. No, I don't have that verse, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Your word's so encouraging to me. Maybe I can see somewhere else. The Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" So the two are no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, don't separate. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. What does that mean about my sister? Surely it can't be that. Perhaps, Lord, you can speak to me another scripture, something more encouraging. Let me see. What else can you show me, Lord? Mark. Mark. Mark's quite a good gospel. Jesus said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote to you this precept, but from the beginning of creation, God made the male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Two shall become one. God has joined together, may not separate. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery." Hello, Pastor. Yes, it's me again. How are you? Good. What is the deal with divorce and remarriage? Yes, I've looked at that. Yes, I'm in there right now. Yes, but it says if people do it and marry again, it's adultery. Surely it can't be that. Yes, I looked at that scripture as well. Okay, I'll read it. It says, whoever divorces his yes, except for sexual morality, marries another yes, yeah, it's adultery. Okay, so Jesus says it's adultery, but surely there must be some. Yes, I see that one. Okay. So what does that mean? Well, I know. Well, so you're saying it means what it says, but isn't there some way to interpret this? I see. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Lord, I just can't see how that can be the case. Lord, I think that's just not right. All right. Lord, please encourage me from your word. Let's find something that's good. Thank you, Lord. Your word is great. Thank you, Father. You so loved me that you gave your only Son. Oh, Lord, that scripture blesses me. It's so good. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord. You help me so much. What else can you speak to me, Lord? Jude. Not familiar with Jude. But this I want to remind you. Though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. Doesn't sound like a very nice God. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment on the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the homosexual, wasn't it? As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner, having given themselves over to sexual morality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What are you saying, Lord? I think I'll read somewhere else and have a look. Let's see if I can find something else more encouraging. Romans is very encouraging. I remember that scripture. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Thank you, Lord. I'll start from the beginning and read through and see if I come across everything. What's this, Lord? For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, backbiters, haters of God. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you to judge, whatever you... The judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Ah, Lord, come on. Let me call Pastor. I'll give him a call. Yes, hello. Yes, it's me again. There's a couple of scriptures that seem to be saying it's wrong to be sexually immoral and homosexual and things like that. But I must be misreading it, because God's a God of love. And if people love one another, then that's okay. I mean, marriage is a man-made thing as well, isn't it? So, Yes, I read that. I'm actually there right now. Yes, it does say vile and the natural use and receiving penalty and, yeah. Okay. I haven't looked at that one. 1 Corinthians. Okay, I'll read it. From verse 9. Okay, yes, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I see. No. I see. Yeah. No. I've read a few scriptures already. It seems to be pretty clear. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Thanks. Nice talking to you. Bye bye. Lord, I just can't support that. Just put that out. Oh, that's better. Good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You give me so much. Thank you. You sent your Son and saved me. Thank you, Father. I have the mind of Christ and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me to 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, chapter 4. The prophet Elijah is a man we know has come and he's gone. And Elisha was under the tutelage of Elijah. And Elijah said this thing. He said, what do you want? And it's interesting what he asked for. He asked for a double portion. And he said, it's a hard thing you ask for. I'll tell you this. If you're around when I'm taken into heaven, it'll be done for you. And the chariot came. And Elisha went on in his ministry. Elisha is a man of faith. Now let's have a look at chapter 4. These chapters, just if ever you're at home, you think, oh, I just want to read through something to encourage me, just reading through these few chapters will just inspire you. Here is a man of faith. Now it says in verse 1, now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to who? Who did the woman cry out to in your Bible? Elisha. She cried out to Elisha. Why didn't she cry out to God? I don't know. Maybe the people of faith are God's representatives on the earth. And when God's far away people are looking, maybe it's you they'll see before they see God. When they see you, thank you, Abraham, what will they see? Let's have a look at what she saw when she saw Elisha. She said to Elijah, your servant, my husband, it's all right, you can leave them there. Abraham, thanks. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves. This woman's in debt. And now she's looking after the kids. Who's going to provide for her? I think we could all tell stories. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except one jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. So she's got to go and get a lot of jars. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. There is a miracle of God there. And Elisha is a man walking with God. He is a man of faith. But in this story, the woman was also a woman of faith. She could have said, that is ridiculous. Give me some money, and that's it, be done. But she obeyed what he said. So we're looking at Elijah as a person of faith. As he gave instruction to the people, they became people of faith. And they followed after, and what happened? She was provided for her sons. She paid her debts. In verse 8, the Shunammite woman. Again, here is this man. And there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, And there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was. As often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?'" And she answered, I live among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Truly she has no son and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." What an amazing thing to say. And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. The woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her." She was blessed. Again, we see the faith. We see Elisha walking and being a blessing, being a man of faith, and we see the way it impacts the people around him. Verse 18, "When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died." Verse 21, "She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God." Didn't put him in his own room. This is very interesting. Another time we'll talk about the power of our words. But if you look at this lady as an example. "She then called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and return.' He said, 'Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It will be well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you.' So she went and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her, at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, 'It is well.'" The boy is dead. But she said, "It is well." When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I not ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him. And lay my staff on the lad's face." The mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face. But there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, "The lad has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth and went up and stretched himself on him. And the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." He called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Take up your son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. What an amazing story. Elisha is a man of faith. And Elijah's faith wasn't just his own. People around Elijah became people of faith. And one of the things that happens when we read the Bible, we read these stories. And in our own life, we testify, we tell stories of things that have happened to us. I want you to go over to Hebrews, please, chapter 4. How is your Bible looking? I trust there are no pages missing from your Bible. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. Talking about the children of Israel. We have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard them. The children of Israel heard the word of God, so did we. But Jesus says, or the word of God says, but the word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. So I read stories like about Elijah and Elisha and all these great men and women in the Bible, and you see this element comes out in their life. It's an element of faith. And they do these amazing miracles. We could have gone back into 1 Kings and read about how many people know the story of Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. And the nation has turned away from God. And except there is one person. You know, it only takes one person. It doesn't matter how many oppose you. It only takes you. It only takes you in your workplace. It only takes you in your family. So the nation's turned away. And they've got this big religious system that's so big, there are 450 prophets. So you imagine how big it is. And they have that competition to see which God answers with fire. And so they have that scenario happen, and he actually starts mocking them and saying, where is your God, where is Baal, because nothing happens. So then it comes his turn, and he asks water to be poured over all the wood and do it three times. And then, of course, God answers with fire. And God demonstrated himself through one person of faith, because he wanted to turn the nation back to himself. And for that day, they did. Of course, then they chased after him and so on. But God demonstrated himself. You read on in 2 Kings where you look at Elisha picking up that same mantle, being a man of faith and going about what he did. You read in the chapters to come. Do you know the story of the man working in the field, and he's borrowed an axe, and the axe head goes flying off, and it's in the water. And we go, okay, so get another axe. No, axes, there's no Bunnings back then. There's no easy way to go and get another axe, and then they're certainly not cheap. It's not a poor man's tool, or else everyone would have one, and you wouldn't go and borrow one to do work to make money to provide for life for you and your family. So he's troubled now. It's in the water. And what did Elisha do? Do you know the story? He gets a stick. Now, what's an axe head made of? It's like made of iron, made of steel. You know, it's made of this heavy thing. Elisha says, he hears this person, and he gets this stick, breaks it, throws it to the water, and what happens? This metal thing rises and floats on the water. These are strange things, aren't they? Well, yes, they're strange, but they're not strange when you read the Bible and you read about God's people who had faith. And when we read that scripture in Hebrews, and it says the word didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. So you can come across someone, and they'll tell an amazing testimony about healing. And you can come across someone else who won't. And you look and you say, what's the difference? And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you know, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be moved, be cast into the sea. Whoever believes in his heart and doesn't doubt, he will have whatever things he says. Faith is a big issue. Can you see that? Faith is a big issue to appropriate blessing in your life, but also blessing in other people's lives. It actually, it almost passes on to other people. It inspires other people. You can say to people, like also you read about Elisha, where the king came to him. So you start to see, this Elisha had a reputation. And the king came to him and said, I've got this problem. And so Elisha gave him a solution. The king struggled with it and different things. But in the end, he went and did what Elisha said. And he washed seven times, and the leprosy left him. There's a reputation to be had amongst the people of God. amongst you and I. People can know us in our workplace. This is someone I can talk to quietly and say, please pray for me, because they may not want to come straight out. It can also be a place where people come boldly and say, we need to pray because this thing's being overturned, and we need to pray that God will show himself. And God will show himself. But we see these testimonies happen around us where that sort of thing doesn't always happen. And so I wonder, and I wonder if you wonder, how do we mix faith with the Word of God? We've all got it here. How do we mix faith with it? Faith is very useful to us. We are saved by grace through what? Through faith. We all have faith. We all attain salvation through faith. So we know that faith is there. We know we pray and we believe. I want to show you something. I wondered if I would offend any people doing this. I sat down with some people years ago as we talked over the things Jesus said. And they said, I know Jesus says this, but I don't see how it can be. And I said to them, why don't I make things easy for you? Why don't I come to your house and I'll take those pages out of your Bible so you don't have to be troubled by this anymore. We had a man here some time ago, and he was asked a question during a conference, and he said, let me tell you what Jesus says, and let me tell you what I say. Honestly, anytime anyone ever says that to you, who are we? If Jesus says something, who are we to speak any different? We must always be so cautious and so careful. Anyone, any person, up here, at a home group, in your house, on the phone, who knows more than Jesus? Who is more loving than him? Who understands things better than him? No one. All right, let me just show you this. Let's have a look at this. It's the end of a film clip, video clip, song. It's just the last few seconds. I'll rewind it and play it again. Can you see the point that's being made at the end of this clip? Can you see those words? Jesus saves all of us. All. Does anyone know what song this is from? Okay, it's not from a Christian group. It's actually a song released by a man. He's very well known, if I was to say his name. And he was arrested in 1998 in Los Angeles. Please, I don't wish to offend anyone, but because he was soliciting homosexual relations in a public toilet. So he was arrested, and it became very big on the news and the TV. And so in response to this, several months later, he wrote a song where he made fun of the police arresting him and so on. this is the end of his film clip. I would never want you to see the rest of the film clip. This, I've got this off YouTube because it's very inappropriate. But you get to the end of the film clip and he shows this. And he says, Jesus saves all of us. All. Now, this person has written several songs, and in there he's included talk about Jesus. This person is openly gay. And in fact, so that was in 1998. In 2005, in England, there was a homosexual magazine started up, and they asked him to be a columnist on it. So he became a writer. And in the first article he ever wrote, he said this, he said something like this, and because this is a quote, to all the gays and lesbians, it's time we start taking religion seriously. That's what he said. Now, he's openly gay, he's advocating being gay, but he's saying, we need to take this seriously, we need to take religion seriously. And it created a lot of conversation in the Christian community. There were debates. And I wasn't in any of the debates. I looked at some. And it began this whole debate. People were saying, of course you can be gay and be Christian. Other people said, I really feel for him, he has no choice. Because in 2006, he was arrested again for the same activity outside a toilet. And he became very proactive and said, look, I have a boyfriend, but I also have this desire to go and be this way with anonymous men. And so people started saying, well, it's just his, you know, he can't help it. In 2008, people report of this same person that he walks the streets with other people handing out Christian leaflets. No change to the lifestyle. I look at something like that, and I can't see any other person, any other way a person can have the Bible, because it's actually part of a church that would have a Bible that you know where you know the King James and New King James and the NIV. It's not like there is a satanic Bible or something like that but used by these people where they have changed all these things around. No, it's a Bible like we have, but they get to certain parts. Just put that away. Thank you, Lord, you saved me. Thank you, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord, nothing will separate me from your love. And what happens any time they come across something they don't like? Now, do you know what? People don't tear pages out of their Bible. But they might as well. Now, I would never say to someone, do it. I mean, like I said it in that parody to the people I spoke to years ago because I was trying to get the point home. You might as well do this. See, it's interesting. If I stand here on these pages of the Bible, you may be offended. This is the Word of God. I wonder what God finds more offensive. Me standing on ink on paper, or people who have heard the Word of God in their heart, the living Word of God that says, pay your tithes, and when was the last time you paid your tithes? Which does God find more offensive, me doing this or you doing that? I may trample ink and paper. You might be trampling the living Word of God. Does it matter? It does matter. It absolutely does matter. In Hebrews 4, we read this as a strong warning to who? To Christians. Based on what? The children of Israel. I'm not a member of the nationality of Israel. I'm an engrafted plant. And I am very blessed. I'm very fortunate to be in that position. And I've come in by faith. And if God, and in his word, and in Romans, he says this, if he disciplined his own people like this, do you think he's going to be more or less lenient with those who have grafted in, who weren't part of the natural tree? It's not. Do you know, you can read on in 2 Kings about Elisha. And you can read the various stories that come up. And you can read about... Sorry, you can read in Genesis. You can read about Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can read about Lot. And you know the story with Lot, where the angels come and they say, right, we're going to bring an end to this. And they spare Lot because he leaves. It's interesting because Lot's got two daughters and sons-in-law. You don't hear from the sons-in-law again. only there's the two daughters and Lot in a cave later, and the daughters say, well, we're not going to have any kids now, so let's get our father drunk and sleep with him and have kids. And they both did. And who came out of that ungodly event? The Moabites and the Ammonites. Who came against Israel over and over? There is this ungodly way of doing things, and there is a godly way of doing things. There is a faithful way of doing things, and there is an unfaithful way of doing things. There is a way we can live where people will look and they will see the manifest glory of God in our lives. There is a way we can stand up and say, no, you don't have to do that. It's all right to go against the Bible. How does God view it all? He views it very seriously. I think to myself, and I know I've talked to people over the years, and I say, I don't want to play church. I don't want to play around. Why? Why? I mean, I know God deals with you like he does with me. You know when God said to you, go and apologize to that person? Oh, yes, Lord. You know, it's hard at times, isn't it? And you've got to humble yourself, and you grow and you become more like Christ. But it's a workout. It's a challenge. It's change. It's trusting. It's stretching. Why do you want to play for? I don't want to play. And I don't want to miss out on what he's got for me. So if God says he is my God who will heal me of my diseases, then I want to embrace what he has. And if God says there's a way for me to live, I want to walk in it. Why do I want to do this? And why do we want to do this? This is what we do if we disobey anything in the word. And I want it to be so clear to every single one of us, whatever it might be, whether it's gossip. Don't do it. And if you think it's okay and you've got a nice Bible like that, that is not what God sees. And God is more offended by us trampling the living word in our heart. No, it's not a small thing. There is a wonderful promise to us. There is a wonderful promise, and it says that we can be people of faith. We can be children of God. We can be. Doesn't the scripture say in your Bible, Elijah was a man like who? Wasn't he a man like us? Elijah was a man like us. What are we going to be to our people around us? What are we going to be to our families? What are we going to be to our workmates? What are we going to be as a church? We have a choice. Fit in with the world, and we drop God's teachings on the floor. Trample over them. Or we become people of faith. We become like Elijah, like Elisha. And we become people who mix faith with the word. I want to be someone like that. We see miracles. We hear about it. We see these things happen. And sometimes, you know, I tell people stories, and they think I'm making it up. And I think it never occurred to me that people would make this stuff up. You know, like when God's answered you. Unless you're someone who's really playing the game. But isn't God real? Don't you ever lie in bed at night sometimes and think, what would happen if I fell into God's hands right now? Is my life okay? Do I need to clean up anything in my life? Do I look over the scriptures that say, if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he's committed adultery in his heart, and do I look and say, doesn't matter, let's keep watching that channel on TV? That's not for us. That's not for us. Something comes on your computer. Something comes on TV. You drive past something. Turn your eyes. I had a conversation with someone last week. And again, these can be embarrassing things to talk about. But I was talking to him about masturbation. And I said to him, I have been in conferences and I've heard teachings that say, it's okay, go for it, do this and that and the other. And I said, and I've heard other teachings that say don't. And I said, I can tell you from people who have held to both views, the people who don't seem to live holier lives. They seem to have less of a guilty conscience. They seem to walk and see more of the manifest glory of God in their life. People make these arguments either way. I remember going and visiting some leaders in a church many years ago, and these people had a deliverance ministry. This is going back over 10 years ago, so this would be no one anyone knows. Actually, you would know. Anyway, but these people, I went and saw them, and I would catch up, how's your ministry going, what things are you doing, and all that sort of stuff. And they said, we just had a wonderful breakthrough with a young man who's been really struggling with masturbation. And we set him free. And I said, that's wonderful. What did you do? They said, we told him it's okay. We said, take your time. Make it a big, you know, and I'm kid you not. And I'm sitting there going, okay, so this is how they're setting people free. Do you know what? If I have a Bible without these pages, I feel set free. If I rip pages out of my Bible, God doesn't convict me about not tithing. It's not there in front of me. And I harden my conscience so much, I think it doesn't matter. That is not being set free. That is being seared. They have seared their conscience as with a hot iron, the Bible says. They have got the Word of God and they've ripped it out. They've set up beliefs and portray it to the world that say it doesn't matter how you live. And it doesn't matter. And you know, a teaching like this can come to you in two ways. We can talk about being great people of faith and encouraging towards that. But I think sometimes the promises of God are, just as a quick thing, almost like an egg. Does everyone in here eat eggs, right? You know they come in the shell. Okay. You can't eat an egg inside the shell. You know, you don't eat an egg with the shell. You've got to get it out. You can't. It doesn't matter what sort of egg you have, you don't get it unless it comes to you, first of all, in a shell. And the promises of God say, I've got this great thing for you. But you notice with so many of the promises of God, there is something else around it that says, but if you don't do this, this is going to go badly for you. So you can't just get an egg and hard boil it and crunch it. You're going to have a horrible digestive time. You're going to have all that hard shell breaking in your mouth. God's promise is like that. You can't mix the two things together. If you do this, God says, I will do that. If you don't, I will do that. So our admonition to one another and our encouragement to one another is we walk in the good things of God. We don't walk in the bad things of the devil. So for us, we're not just to say, okay, let's just do this and love and so on. And let's not ever talk about those things down there on the ground that will cause us problems. No, we're not to do that. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Please, if you have a look. Because I think it's interesting. At the end of our days, we have an opportunity to stand before God, and God says, well done, good and what? Faithful servants. Think about that. Well done, good and faithful servants. What does that mean to you, to be faithful? Well done, good and faithful servants. The children of Israel, did they get well done, good and faithful servants? It's interesting, the Bible says, the word of God they heard was good news, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. So I want to ask you a question. How do you increase in faith? How do you mix faith in your life? Can anyone tell me? How do you mix faith with the word of God you've heard? The answer is four verses on. Please have a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 2 said, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, go down to verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter, why? What's the word? Because of? Guys, what does your Bible say? Because of what? Disobedience. The children of Israel heard the word of God. They were happy. They were glad. They didn't continue in it. And God became angry with them. And it says quite strictly what happened to them. And that's a message for us. How do we become people of faith? You know, if you ever wonder this, how do I become like Elijah? How do I become like Elisha? Do you have to go and do some special, oh Lord, I'm really praying. Do you have to? Do you know God will move mightily if you're a person of obedience? That is faith to God. God says, all these promises. Go back to, please, 2 Kings, just as we finish on this. Let me just find where he is. As you read through 1 and 2 Kings, you read, this king came to power, he was this old, and he did evil in the sight of God. And the majority of kings you read about did evil. Not all of them. But when you come to 2 Kings chapter 22, Verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. Now, I just want to very quickly, if you can read that, number 22, chapter 22. Well, let me just pull out the part I want you to see. It's an interesting thing in verse 4. When people went into the temple, do you know people stood at the door collecting the offering as they came in? That's how they did the offering. I think if you came in and you weren't tithing, it would be made very clear. Okay. Let's the workmen. Okay, down to verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, your servant have emptied money and delivered this. Moreover, we were given a book, and he read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book, he tore his clothes. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, you find out that Manasseh, the king before, had brought idols into the temple of God, that there was a place where people would go with their children, and they would burn their children as an offering to one of the gods. You know, it was this horrible, detestable thing that existed in the time of Israel. And God said, I am going to bring calamity and destruction on all these people. Josiah hears the word of the Lord. He tears his clothes, and he goes in and he breaks down every single thing according with the word of the Lord. He takes away the Asherah pole. He defiles, which they did by putting human bones on things, on all these different false idol temples. And the altars removed all these things from the house of God. What do you think God said in response to that? Do you know what God said? God said, my punishment stands. Do you know, today we deal with people and they don't even worry about repenting. They say, I'll just continue in this. I'll just continue in adultery. I'll just continue in fornication. I will just continue in this. So it's not even the idea of repentance. It's just like, no, God's okay with it. Not only is God not okay with it, there are times where God says, and your punishment stands. Didn't Jesus say better to enter heaven with this thing missing and with that thing gone? Why? What's he saying? Deal with sin drastically. Deal with it. It has a painful effect on your life. It will take you even right out of God's kingdom. That's what God's word says. I love the picture, but that these guys found it. And if there is anything in your life where you have, I'm assuming in your heart, ripped out the word of God, you can put it back in. Get some sticky tape. Get back to it, whatever it might be. For time, I will not do it, but I brought sticky tape with me to put these things back in. We want to finish up. Let me ask you a question, if I can be so bold. Do you tithe? Three people tithe? Four people tithe? Is that too personal a thing to ask? Let me ask you this question. If someone sins against you, do you forgive them? Please. If someone sins against you, do you forgive them? Are you guys not putting your hand up because you don't want to participate or because you don't agree? Do you forgive? I'm serious. Are we playing church or are we doing this? If someone sins against you, who forgives them? I forgive them. Do you forgive them? I'm not seeing your hands. Does that mean you don't forgive? Okay. Let's not play church. Honestly. All else, let's stay home. Let's walk in what God says and let's be the Elijahs and Elishas, or let's stay home. Let's bring our tithes in. Let's do the right thing. And why do you do all these things? A guy said to me 2 weeks ago, he said, I don't like tithing because where I come from, the country I came from, the priest became very rich. And the people went very poor. Now look, there are two responsibilities. One is what the pastor does with the money and what the priests do with the money. And you read throughout the Bible, you see God go bang, bang, bang. God doesn't miss a thing. But there are two responsibilities. The first responsibility, God says, is bring your tithes in. If you don't do it, you are setting yourself up for failure. Next week, there is a small teaching on tithing and finances. You know, and look, I know Pastor John doesn't need money. I don't need money. I know the leaders here don't need money. But I can tell you that my job and my finances have risen to the level of my tithes and offerings. I'm so blessed Elgin is able to stay home. And a month, you heard me tell the testimony, a month before she was to finish work, God added to my income more than her wage. How did he do that? God did it. But do you know that the amount God added was how much combined altogether, and then more income came in. We were just saying, God, how can all this be? Now, we were tithing and offering not to get a thing back. We thank the Lord for what he did. Tithing is the Old Testament principle. Every principle from the old to the new increases. You know, instead of eye for an eye, you turn the other cheek. Every principle. But we get to money? No, I'm not going to put my hand up. I'm not going to say what I do. Everything increases. I pay the government how much in tax? How much do you pay? Do you pay the government 10% in tax? Do you wish you paid the government 10% in tax? Huh? So, we enjoy roads. We call the police. That's your taxes. Your taxes go to help do that. And we pay, what, 20, 30, 40% on our tax? Not going to give God 10. Hypocrites. You would get offended at me standing on ink on paper, yet you trample the living word of God in your heart. And what is the excuse? If you don't trust man, you're not tithing to man. You're tithing to God. God can. I've seen God take pastors out. I've worked with Jonathan. We've seen people come and go, and God has moved them. I'm not worried about, when God removed Saul, he appointed David. This is a real thing. This is not a game we're playing. So, let our Bibles be intact, and let us adhere to them. And let God help us that we will be Elijah and Elisha, that we will go about our town, our church, our work, our family, and we will say, there's your axe head. We will say, there is your son back to life. And people will say, like the king said, there is a God in Israel. People will say, these people are different. That's what happens if we don't play, if we do it the right way. Father, by your grace, we can do this. Father, by your strength, we can do this. For us, there's a price to pay, Lord, no matter which way we go. Father, help us to pay the price that will lead us into everlasting life, that we will be the Elijahs and the Elishas of this generation, of this town, of our families, our workplace. Lord, we don't want to play games. We want to see people brought back to life. We want to see finances overcome and brought back, that in times of recession, people prosper, that according to your word, Father, there is a great manifestation of the glory of God, not for our own benefit, Lord, but to give you glory. Father, for your glory, because we know that there is a God of Israel who is the God of our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that we are there because of the blood of Jesus, that we can be engrafted in to worship you. Father, having received the word with joy and gladness, let us not have a testimony before you that you became angry with us, that we stopped in our belief, that we started tearing pages out of our Bible. Father, let it be, Lord, that we are your people, that you smile and you say, well done, good and faithful servants. It is your house and kingdom, Father. We are your servants. We are blessed to stand here. We want to see your glory come on this earth, Father, and we do not want to be a hindrance to it. So, Father, as many of us who is meet to see a word of correction in our lives, in any area, Father, help us to receive that, and we say, Lord, we will do as you have spoken, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.